If you got your Bibles, open up to Proverbs 4. I'll be there in just a few minutes, and we're going to finish up Proverbs 4 today. But again, it's the 25th anniversary of Impact that we're celebrating this weekend. And what originally began as a small group of people with no intention of becoming a church officially established themselves as a church 25 years ago. George and Sharon, are you in the room? Yeah, stand up back there in the back. Okay, so this is George and Sharon Cominges. George, they had moved from Dallas to kind of retire, but God. And God drew him out and began working in his life, and one thing led to another. They said yes to God, and because they said yes to God, here we are 25 years later. We just love you guys so much, so thankful. Thankful to you. They chose the name Impact because the hope was and still is today for this to be a fellowship of Spirit-filled believers who impact the Hill Country and beyond by sharing the light and the love of Jesus. In the early days, after having met in homes and then hotels, Impact met on Sunday nights in another church across town. And then after this property was purchased, and after getting through some hassles with the city related to building a church on these 12 acres, the first building was completed, the building that we use for kids' church and the offices over there, in 2002 of August. The first weekend of September 2002, Graham Cook came for a dedication weekend. Cindy and I and our kids were also invited, and we came down from Fort Worth. The church where we were serving in Fort Worth was a kind of covering and support for a number of small churches that were connected in a network with Graham Cook's ministry. And for several years, I'd been working with the leadership team here, doing some leadership development, and also working with the worship team. And then 11 months after that, September of 2002 and August of 2003, we moved to Kerrville, and I began serving as Impact's first paid pastor. 20 years later, our kids are all grown and gone, but here we are. We're still here, and we're loving it. This building that we're in was completed in December of 2006, and by God's grace, we paid it off and got debt-free in July of 2014, and we've been debt-free ever since. 2015, we did major renovation to the other building. We started out just trying to create a little bit of office design, and it ended up having to do the whole building and bring it all up to code and created the hallway. Pretty much the only thing, the kitchen stayed the same, but almost everything else changed around it. But the Lord, again, a whole year, turned out what was going to be a two-month project, turned into 9 months. But once again, the Lord allowed us to do all of that debt-free, and we're so thankful for that. And then in 2017, we started adding full-time pastoral staff. Brent Davis is our children's pastor in Kids Church this morning. He started in January 2017. He and Sarah have been such a blessing to us, do such an amazing job with kids. Garrett, who is playing up here this morning, in September of 2018, he and his wife Sarah joined us as our youth pastors. And then Bryson, who was leading us this morning, January of 2019, came on to lead worship, be our worship leader. But also he and his wife, Rihanna, do our young adults group. Just an amazing group of guys and couples that we're getting to serve with. And we've been so blessed to have Sharon Thurman as our church administrator since 2009. And Julie McDormand's been our receptionist since 2015. Lori Heisinger joined our administrative staff in January of 2019. And Victoria Kuhn became our nursery and preschool coordinator in July of 2021. And I'm telling you, it is such a joy and such a blessing to serve with every one of those people. It's such a beautiful thing, the way the Lord has linked our lives together for this season of our life. And I've been in church my whole life never experienced what I'm getting to experience week in, week out with the group of people that are here serving among us. So thankful to the Lord for that. There's a lot to celebrate about what the Lord did with and among us in Impact's 24th year. We were able to establish a medical team who serve in our weekend services. A lot of times I'll talk to whoever's on the team at the back before a service and say, I hope you don't have to do anything today, but I am so thankful that you've made the time to sacrifice and be here. And that's been going on this year. Also, a new medical mission outreach opened up in Boquillas, Mexico. And the Lord has just opened the doors to us in that city. We've been there three different times already in the last year. The first time, we flew in four dentists from Oaxaca and did a medical thing that way. The last time we went, we took food and fruit trees and gardens, supplies and things like that. And the last two times that we went across the border, such incredible favor. The Border Patrol on this side was helping us take our stuff down and put it in the boats that you rode across the Rio Grande to the other side. And on the other side, the Mexican Border Patrol said, we're not charging you any fees because you're coming here to help us. And so, and the place where we stay in Boquillas, the people who own that little hotel said, we're not charging you for the rooms and we'll make food for you. I mean, it's a beautiful exchange going back and forth that the Lord has opened up. Last November, we did our first blessing, which is a thing that we do where we work with the counselors of the schools in the area and we bring the kids here and their parents and we turn our kids' church into a shoe store and 1,200 different pairs of shoes in there. And then we invite the kids to come in and pick whatever pair of shoes that they want. We've been doing it for several years. But last year, not only did we do that in November, but then in December, we took 1,000 pair of shoes, floated them across the Rio Grande River, and did a first blessing for the whole town of Boquillas. Just a really, really beautiful thing we got to do. Locally, we were also blessed to continue our partnership with Ruben and Janie Sarabia's Sozo Ministry. And last year, they celebrated their 10th anniversary of ministry. We just love you guys so much. And Pablo's I Am His Ministry made four more trips to San Antonio. In December, we also helped provide backpacks of hope, not only for the homeless in San Antonio, but last year we also did an outreach to the homeless right here in our community. Also last year, Edna Vandeveer, who's part of our fellowship, became the executive director of the Christian Women's Job Corps. And now Meredith Carpenter is her assistant serving with her. So that's a really cool thing. And Phil and Barbie Parsons became the new leaders of the newest Teen Challenge Boys Ranch work right here in town. They came just to serve. And then God said, I got a better plan for you. I'm going to move you right up to the top and have you lead there. So we're so blessed to serve with you guys and so thankful that you're here with us. And also last year, our Celebrate Recovery group celebrated their third anniversary. And during the last year, their attendance has doubled. I'm not exactly sure how it's all going to fit. They've been over here on this side this summer, being able to meet over here. And how we get them back in the house over there on the other side, I don't quite know. But it's a beautiful thing to see what God is doing in that work. Yeah, Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And sadly, last year we had the opportunity to do that with people here in our Impact family as six of our Impact family passed away and went on to heaven. Linda Finley, Lee Umstead, James Barnett, John Leonard, Dan Weinheimer, and Don Thorne. Every one of those people were such amazing people that carried such an amazing anointing on their lives and they left a void. They left a void. But we know they're on the other side. I suspect they're even watching in as we were singing that first song about the cloud of witnesses gathered around. They might be all gathered up together watching us today. And we're thankful for that. And we know we'll see them again. And another interesting thing that happened last year, we lost those six, but we were blessed by the Lord. In that same time frame last year, the Lord blessed us with 13 new babies in the house. And there are several more on the way. One mama's about to pop. It could be any time this weekend. So it really is something there. And finally, while during our 23rd year, we were blessed to celebrate 16 people getting baptized, during our 24th year, 59 people got baptized here. Really is a beautiful, beautiful thing that God is doing among us. And really, again, I've been in church my whole life, but I just want to encourage us, don't take for granted what we experience here week after week after week. The presence of the Lord that's in this place as we gather together, the levels of faith and history and experience that different people in this room carry as they come in. I mean, it makes a difference. Every one of you, it makes a difference when you're here. And when you're not here, we're missing something. And I just want to just say, let's not take for granted this beautiful thing. Not only when we gather here, but things that are happening during the week in groups and things that are happening in our homes and different places the Lord has us spread out in the city. It is really a precious, precious, safe place, exhilarating thing that God is doing among us. And let's just give the Lord one more shout for that. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. So good. So good, so good. Last weekend, I said God's created us to be part of a continuum of spiritual growth and learning. And as we celebrate our 25th year, we're not finished. with all the Isaiah 54, bear and rejoice, enlarge, stretch out, do not hold back, lengthen and strengthen that God started in our 24th year. Instead, God is inviting us up a level to start another loop of spiritual growth and learning. As we live led by and in step with the Holy Spirit, and as we keep making more room for God in our lives, He'll keep growing and maturing us in every way, not just individually, but also as couples, as families, and within the relationships of our Impact family. With careful observation, proper interpretation, and a diligent application of God's written and rhema words, we will position ourselves to live by wisdom, by understanding, and by His knowledge. The best is yet to come. I'm not sure what the 25th year has in store for us, but I do know this, there's going to be two eclipses. And they happen right over Kerrville. So get ready. We're going to see what God's up to this year. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Once again, Solomon's words here are stronger in Hebrew than they read in the English. When he said, pay attention to what I say, that was more like a military attention with full obedience implied. This listen closely can involve leaning in to listen. Last night I was talking about the old RCA logo. You remember that? The RCA logo with the dog and the Victrola? I looked it up this morning. Look at the name of that work. His Master's Voice. Come on. Come on. And look when it was created. 1898. That's 125 years ago. And this, listen to me closely, is a listening like that. It's a leaning in to hear the Master's voice. This listening closely, though, also describes a wider scope of listening that will cause us to stretch and to spread out. My father, in the last years of his life, wore a hearing aid. And you know, hearing aids are kind of tricky things. I mean, they can help you hear better in some situations. Other situations just be kind of crazy. And he went through a variety of different hearing aids. And eventually he ended up with one that he could dial in. So he could listen, like he's having a conversation with you in a busy place. He could dial it in. So he was only hearing what's being spoken right in front of him. But he also had a way to dial it out so that he could, you know, listen to the whole room going. And this word, listen to me closely, is a word like that as well. Not only does it mean lean in, but it also means open wider where you're listening. Sometimes the mistake we make when we're trying to hear God is we're only listening in a very small area where we think He's going to speak to us. And God is such a creative communicator. There are so many different ways He can speak to us. Yes, He can reveal something directly to us and speak to us. But a lot of times He'll speak to somebody. When talking this morning, we were just talking about how he asked God something, and then the answer happened right there, and then it came. I've been in movie theaters before, and I've had the Lord speak to me in a movie several different times. Sometimes it's a song on the radio. Sometimes it's somebody just walks up and says something, or something just happens. I just want to encourage us, when you're trying to hear the Lord, don't get it so tight. Well, God's not talking to me because I'm not hearing Him. Maybe you're just not listening wide enough. This word, listen closely, can mean lean in, but it also can mean spread out, get your antenna up, and pick up the frequency of God wherever it's coming from. The passion captures the bottom line. Listen carefully to everything that I teach you. Do not let them out of your sight. That same thing was written about sound judgment and discernment in chapter 3. And in both places, Solomon meant, don't turn aside from or depart from, and don't get alienated from or let them escape. Instead, keep them within your heart. By keep, it means to hedge them in with thorns, to guard them, protect them, and attend to them. And to this day, none of that happens by accident. You don't accidentally guard it and protect it and attend to it. It's intentional, purposeful choices to hide things in our hearts. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, another way God gets His word in us and God speaks to us is tune nag. He'll sing a song over us, or we'll hear a song and it just keeps coming back. There's been one of the songs that I heard recently, and And there's a part of the song that I really love, and there's another part of the song that I think, I don't know if I like that. The part of the song they don't think I like, I just find myself singing all the time. So pretty soon, I'm going to end up singing that song out loud too. But it's just interesting how God speaks to us in that way, even through words, but also through songs. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. We keep God's word hidden within our hearts by practicing healthy spiritual disciplines. Reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, speaking out loud words of scripture, meditating on things that we've heard and things that God's spoken, living out the word, putting it into practice. Those are ways. When we do those things, we will know, become, experience, and demonstrate God's word in our daily lives. Solomon gave two strong reasons for this admonition. First, they are life to those who find them. Regarding that life, Moses once said, take heart to all the words I've solemnly declared to you. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. There's life to be found in every written and rhema word of God. John 6, Jesus said, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. In the Message Bible, it says, the spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it is life-making. Interestingly, Solomon did not use the double-sided find word that he's been using in these chapters. Remember that word we've been talking about almost every week? He's used it in different ways, where it starts with God's initiative to us. God is pursuing us and doing things before we even get there so we can find it. And then we find it and take hold. But he's the initiator and we're the responder. That's the word that Solomon has consistently used in chapters 3 and 4. But here, he used a different word for find that puts the full initiative in our court. The word he used right here, where it says they are life to those who find them, they are life to those who discover them. They are life to those who acquire them. They are life to those who unwrap them. It's a different word that he's been using. Same in English, different word when he shared it originally. Jesus added another dimension to this find when he said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me. There's a faith level thing. Jody was talking about experiencing and demonstrating it this morning. There's a faith level that's required for us to discover and acquire and unwrap the words of God that he's speaking to us. Those who hear my words and believe him who sent me have eternal life and will not be condemned. They've passed over from death to life. Reason number two. Do not let out of your sight, don't let them out of your sight, keep them within your heart, for they are health to a person's whole body. The Amplified says health and healing. And this word health properly means a curative. A curative is a corrective, invigorating, restorative remedy. In other words, it's a transformer. It's something that takes place. We were one way before it happened, and we are another way after it happened. This word for health can literally mean medicine, a cure, even deliverance. And those are three different ways that God still uses in the healing process today. In the Passion, it says they will impart true life and radiant health into the core of your being. This kind of health comes from the inside out. But listen, when the core of our being is contaminated with bitterness, anger, jealousy, and strife, our bodies actually resist healing. You got to let go of that. You can't keep living there. God's desiring to release you from that, but if you hold on to it, he'll let you hold on to it. But if you'll let it go from the inside out, he will impart true life and radiant health into the core of your being. Verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. This side of heaven, there's a never-ceasing battle going on for the attention and the affections of our heart because we always find and make time to do the things that are in our heart to do. Therefore, where we aim our hearts and what we allow to dwell in our hearts are radically important life decisions. In Hebrew, heart is associated with our thoughts and our discernment, our affections, and our will. The Amplified says, keep your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. And the Passion adds, for it affects all that you are. As I dug a little deeper into this Hebrew word for guard, I discovered that it figuratively pointed to a deposit. And that reminded me of the deposits and the seeds that God so generously and consistently makes and sows into our hearts. But listen, the soil condition of our heart is a game changer. Hard, beaten down like a path, hearts resist the seed deposit and it gets stolen. Rocky hearts receive it quickly with joy, but then can't sustain it and eventually lose it in times of testing because they have no roots. Thorny hearts hear it, but when life's worries, riches, and pleasures come, it chokes it out, and so it doesn't mature. Only good soil hearts, and Jesus said good soil is people with noble and good hearts. Only good soil hearts hear the word, understand it, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. When I first learned about this and embraced this verse, it quickened a desire in me to maintain some serious guard duty over my heart. Above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. What else would you do? I took hold of that. But it turned out to be a much harder thing to do than I had imagined. I'd have seasons when I did it well. And then I'd have those times when I failed miserably. And that was disappointing. And then it became discouraging. And then it became frustrating. I kept finding myself to be so consistently inconsistent with this above all else mandate. And then one day reading in Philippians, a light came on that changed everything for me. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Listen to this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is a better way to fulfill the above all else mandate than trying to do it just on my own guard duty. There's four things to do. It starts with building a lifestyle around rejoicing. Now, some of us are happier, perkier people than others, but this rejoicing is about, yoo-hoo, happy, happy, happy. It's not like that. That's not what the Bible's asking us to do. Instead, this word for rejoice actually means to be calmly happy, to be full of cheer. It comes from a realization, a settled in thing that no matter what's going on, God's got me. He's with me and he's got me. And from that place, that's this rejoicing. So we don't get all stressed by all those things. Like I'm all alone or nobody sees me. No, God is with me. He'll never leave me. Matthew spoke that this morning. He'll never leave us. It starts there. We build a lifestyle around rejoicing. And then it grows as we exhibit recognizable moderation and gentleness because the Lord is near. It was interesting as I was studying into this word, gentleness. What exactly does that mean? Where does it come from? It's two different words, superimposed yieldedness. What this is embracing what Jesus modeled for us. Not my will, but yours be done. And living like that. And guess what? He is near to us. So he didn't say, hey, I did it. You do it. It's like, no, I will walk with you. I'll show you how to do that. Just walk with me. Stay yoked with me. I will teach you my ways. I am gentle at heart. And so this exhibiting of moderation and gentleness isn't just something we aspire to. It's something we get to do if we'll just walk with Jesus. So we start with rejoicing. We walk with Jesus. And then not being anxious about anything, that's important. You know where anxiety comes from? Projecting a situation or a circumstance in the future where we don't think God will be with us. No such place exists. No such place exists. He is with us. He is for us. The instead for being anxious about anything is talking with and listening to God about everything. That's called praying without ceasing. That's how you do it. You just walk with him all through the day. You talk to him all through the day. You listen to him all throughout the day. And what it recommends here is that with our request, with the things that we're telling him, that we regularly season them with good doses of thankful, expressive gratitude. I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. That we just find ourselves doing that day after day. Listen. If God never did one more good thing for us the rest of our lives, none of us could still get to even in the gratitude we expressed to him for what he's done already. But here's really good news. He's not done good things for us. So just keep stirring it up by choosing to be and recognize an expressive gratefulness and thankfulness. When we do that, when we live expressively grateful and thankful, what happens is our eyes open and we start finding God doing things, working all around us in different people's lives. But it's something about the gratefulness and the thankfulness that opens our eyes up in order to be able to see it. When we do those four things, the peace of God, which transcends all our own understanding, will guard our heart and our mind in Jesus. When I found that, I thought, that's a twofer. I've just been trying to guard my heart. The peace of God is willing to guard my heart and my mind. But listen, I was thinking about that this morning. Even when we do these four things, we still need to grow in our relationship with the peace of Christ. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's a choice. Let is a choice. And that word rule means umpire, arbitrate, govern, and prevail. All of that. Let the peace of Christ umpire, arbitrate, govern, and prevail in your heart. Since as members of one body, we are called to peace. Regarding the wellspring of life, one day Jesus told the woman at the well, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. The water I give them, there's another kind of deposit that God puts in our life. Boy, in the middle of a hot, dry summer, sometimes just a cool drink of water from the Lord makes all the difference in the world. Jesus said, indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Verse 24, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. The Amplified says, put away false and dishonest speech and all willful and contrary talk. And this kind of put away means turn it off, decline it, and withdraw from using it. James 3:2 says, we all fail in many areas, but especially in our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. Our words matter. What we speak, words we verbalize, words we express, words we loose into the atmosphere release life or death. One or the other. One or the other. Solomon cautions specifically about perversity. That word means distorted, false, fraudulent, crooked words. And corrupt talk, dishonest, debasing, twisted words attached to manipulative motives. James 3, 9 and 10 adds this sobering correction. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. This should not be. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. The things we look at have a kind of magnetism that actually draws us to them. So Solomon cautioned about the things that we scan, the things that we look at, and the things that we regard with interest and pleasure. Let your eyes look straight ahead with fixed purpose is how the Amplified translated this verse, which is like practicing putting blinders on a horse. It's the picture of that. It helps that horse stay focused on the road ahead without getting distracted or spooked by any other thing. We live in a world full of potential distractions, a world full of things that can cause us to get looking sideways or things that cause us to take a second look. Jesus said, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Pagans run after all those things. And your Heavenly Father knows you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will be given to you as well. One time Jesus talked about the importance of setting our hand to the plow and not looking back. We cannot walk straight ahead when we're constantly looking back. Now, one thing that we all share in common in this room is we all have a past. But another thing that we share in common is our past does not need to define our present or our future. We have been redeemed. We're in the process of being, you need to make peace with your past. You need to make peace with it, but you got to quit looking back there because you cannot walk straight ahead when you just keep looking back, looking back, looking back. It's covered in the blood. If there's things you need to still repent of, repent. What are you waiting for? Quit toting it around. Repent and receive the forgiveness of the Lord. Stop looking back. The way is ahead. Set your eyes on the things ahead. In regards to looking straight ahead with fixed purpose, the writer of Hebrews exhorts us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's still writing our story, and he wants to let us in on it as it's happening, and he's still perfecting our faith and at work in it. To do that, we have to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Another thing I just got to say about looking back, it really isn't there anymore. There's no place back to go to. It's not there. Whatever, even you're picturing maybe it's a good or a bad thing. You try to go back into that, it's not there anymore. It's moved on. Things have moved on. It's so important for us to live present to the moment with our eyes on Jesus moving forward into the future. Proverbs 4, 26, 27. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. The NIV's make level paths could also be consider the path. Other versions say ponder, consider well, consider carefully, watch, mark out, keep straight. All of which calls us to a purposeful intentionality about walking in alignment with God's word and God's ways. Psalm 119 starts like this. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. And then this heart cry is added on. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Take only ways that are firm or established. We often have a strange attraction for things that are presented as brand new or never been done before. That's a trap. That's a trap. Instead, we can choose a wiser way ahead. We can choose settled, fixed, prepared, and applied ways that God has prepared in advance for us to walk on with him. And this established is also the same word Solomon used in chapter 3. By understanding, he said he established the heavens in place. So getting understanding is a real key for us to properly distinguish and make the best choices about the paths we take and the places we choose to go on a daily basis. The Amplified says, let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. One commentator wrote, compared to God's pleasing and perfect path for our lives, right or left is at best a distraction, at worst, disaster. Rather than letting ourselves become captivated by competing calls and entertaining options, stay focused on God's primary call and the best course. And here's an important point of clarification about keep your foot from evil, or remove your foot from evil, as it says in the Amplified. In the Hebrew, foot is commonly referred to as our whole self, as our whole self. So this is one more echo exhorting us to not even take the first step into things that we know are wrong. Because just one step, after just one step, sometimes we're no longer the master of our destiny thereafter. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, 22 says, test and examine everything carefully. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Avoid every form, kind, and appearance of evil. An NIV Study Bible footnote says, this seventh parental instruction focuses on the anatomy of discipleship. Ear, sight, heart, body, mouth, lips, eyes, feet, and foot. The whole body must be oriented constantly toward these teaching and the heart stands at the center. As Solomon finished this chapter, he called his sons and every hearer and reader since to a kind of spiritual checkup. Are we hearing God's word clearly and with understanding? Are we doing them? Are we keeping our eyes on him as he guides us further into righteous living? Are we protecting our hearts from every other influence? Are we keeping a guard on the words of our mouth, which also means we need to keep a guard on the meditations of our heart, because from the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. Are we walking on the straight and narrow way that honors God, honors his word, and honors his ways? All of those are questions that we can come back to and ask ourselves again. And it's not like, okay, I answered those today, now I'm done with them. It's a regular thing that we can ask. Those are all open questions that we need to keep laying before the Lord and having the answers for. As we finish up our service, as we launch into Impact's 25th year, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. So go ahead and get your hands on that communion cup. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gave a corrective word about examining our hearts before we take communion. And I love the way the Message Bible presented that idea. Listen to this. Examine your motives, test your heart, and then come to this meal in holy awe. That's what we want to do this morning. So let's just take a few minutes to do that. Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done and for all that you are still doing for us, in us, with us, and around us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And right now, we just open ourselves up to you. And we open up our hearts to you. And as you do that, just ask the Lord to speak to you something this morning. Maybe reminding you of something you've heard, something brand new that he wants to say to you right now in this moment. And if what he says to you creates conviction, don't shrink back or away from that. God's pointing out something that it's time to deal with. Just repent and receive his forgiveness right now in this moment. Don't go one more minute with something in your heart that doesn't belong there. Give it to God this morning. Receive his forgiveness. And then let's just surrender to stretching out and leaning in and listening more closely to the Holy Spirit. Just be willing to get out of our comfort zones. Let's renounce the control of knowing, so-called knowing. Lord, just help us walk into deeper places of faith in our everyday lives. Let the Holy Spirit right now identify the soil condition of your heart. Ask him for a noble and good heart. Lord, do what it takes so that our hearts can be, in your sight, noble and good. Let God evaluate the current paths that you're walking on. Be open to his correction and redirection. Be willing to move in different and new ways so that we can be more of who God has created us to be and do more of what he's created us to do. Say yes to being moved deeply, rooted and grounded in God's word and God's way. Say yes to living by wisdom and understanding and his knowledge. We say yes, we need that, Lord. Root us and ground us in your love. And open us up even more to understand your wisdom, your understanding, and your knowledge. Forgive us for leaning on our own understanding. We need yours. Forgive us, Lord, for being satisfied with the things that we know, the intelligence that we have. We need your thoughts, your ideas. And we receive them this morning. You pull back the first layer of that communion cup, get hold of that wafer. That is a reminder of the body of Jesus Christ. He came. He left the glories of heaven. He set aside his divinity. He came. He was tested and tried in every way just as we are, but without sin. There's nothing that we go through that he doesn't understand, and he's not been there before us. He doesn't ask us to do things that he himself has not experienced and overcome. He modeled, "Not my will, but yours be done." It was tested and proven throughout his whole 33 years of his life. And then he got to the end, and though he had no sin in him, he paid the price for our sin, a price that we can never pay. And he was beaten and broken. I encourage you to break that. His body was broken beyond recognition for our sin, that we could be set free. And as we share the communion and we remember him, eat this with a grateful, thankful heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. little housekeeping thing before we share in the second half. These cups are not biodegradable, so if you leave it in your seat, it'll still be here when the custodian comes on Monday. So if you'll take it with you and drop it in a trash can on the way out, that'd be much, much appreciated. This is a reminder of the blood that Jesus shed. There is so much power in the blood of Jesus. It brings healing, deliverance, and release. And even beyond that, it's the blood of Jesus that makes it possible for us to come before his presence any day of the week, any time, on our best day or worst day, any in between, and be welcomed in the presence, because the blood that Jesus shed is enough to create that point of access. Jesus, on the night he was with the disciples, said, I have so longed to drink this cup with you. I won't drink it again with you until the great wedding feast of the Lamb. But it's the blood of a new covenant, a better way, that he shared with us. And the word says, whenever we drink it, to do it in remembrance of him. Why don't you stand with me? The Lord put a short prayer in my heart that I want to say phrase by phrase and ask you to repeat it after me. Lord, for your name's sake and your glory, keep increasing our capacity to receive and release your mercy and your grace and the light and love of Jesus. Let all that spills over into who we are and into what we do together, use it to touch our hearts and to touch the hearts of our community with the goodness of God.